Your Excellencies, distinguished mayors, ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning to all of you. Now, as an official of the World Tourism Organization of the United Nations, it's my routine job to talk to tourism ministers and tourism director generals. But to talk to mayors and to people who are not directly involved in tourism industry, I take this as a special honor and privilege for which I thank the Secretariat of TPO to provide the opportunity for the UNWTO. Now, I understand that my keynote part is already distributed to you, so I wouldn't like to bore you with a 15-minute keynote. What I intend to do in my next 20 minutes is to take you along with some basics of our trends in this part of the world, which is the most promising and encouraging area of world tourism. My part for today's speech will basically cover three areas. Number one, I would like to share with you some information of Asia tourism in figures. And number two, I would like to share with you the Asia development trends, especially the qualitative parts of the trends. And finally, the subject of this forum, the tourism investment and infrastructure investment in particular. Now, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, by the way, I'm supposed to put some of the PowerPoints on the screen, but I thought you'll be more paying attention to the PowerPoints to my face, so I decided not to put it. First of all, let's look at the regional picture of Asia tourism. I was mentioning about giving you some figures. So what is Asia tourism in figures? We, the Asia and the Pacific region, compare with the world. Today, we almost double the world's growth rate. The world's growth rate on average is 4.1%. Whereas in Asia tourism, our growth rate is 7.1%. And that is not only speaking for last year. Even for the last 10 years, it remains more or less the same percentage of doubling the world average. Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, we, the Asia and the Pacific, has a market share of world tourism for as much as 20%. And this 20% is not only in international tourist arrivals, but for the first time in the history since last year, we are also 20% in market share of tourism receipts. And more exactly, in 2006, we were 21% of tourism receipts of the total volume of world tourism receipts. This has been achieved, ladies and gentlemen, despite of all the adverse factors such as the wars, the geopolitical conflicts, the tsunami, even currently the increasing oil prices and the potential threat of avian flu. In short, ladies and gentlemen, we, the Asia and the Pacific, are the star performer and the world focus, not only for now, but for the last 10 years of a decade long. Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, if we zoom down from Asia Pacific into geographical subregions of Asia and the Pacific, we would see that the Northeast Asia, which is where we are, including also Korea, Japan, and the rest of Northeast Asia. This region, ladies and gentlemen, has been the leading sub-region of Asia and the Pacific, both in tourism numbers, in tourism developments, as well as in tourism readjustments. China, for example, has been the driving force of the tourism development. It receives roughly one-third of the total Asia-Pacific tourism in terms of international arrivals. Japan, ladies and gentlemen, especially in recent 2 or 3 years, has changed the world's perception when it wanted to build the nation, the entire nation, on tourism rather than on the traditional products of cars and other electronic products. This is an extremely encouraging message for our tourism industry. Korea is another excellent example, and it is this country that recently has first proposed the concept of tourism leisure city. If we look at another sub-region of Southeast Asia, which to me is probably the founding father of Asia-Pacific in the international tourism sense, although this sub-region has smaller percentage share of Asia-Pacific tourism, but this region, especially in terms of destination marketing, has been producing a lot of success stories, be it the amazing Thailand slogan of Thailand, or the Malaysia Truly Asia, which has been the shooting star in the recent years. Now, this sub-region of Southeast Asia is now going through the second generation of its tourism product design. Ladies and gentlemen, if we look at the Oceania sub-region, although its tourism growth rate has been not that high, last year it was more or less 0.3% plus, but that sub-region of Australia and New Zealand is extremely impressive in producing high yield of tourism receipts. The tourism receipts per capita, for instance, in Oceania, is $2,540, which is 3 times more than the average of world tourism receipts per capita, which is only $850. Now, Asia Pacific also includes South Asia, which currently receives only 8 million international tourists. However, this region, with India being the leader, has been fast catching up. And especially in India, we have seen and we have observed with pleasure the recent aggressive investment in tourism infrastructure. According to a recent UNWTO study, India by the year 2010 will become the biggest market of low-cost carriers, the LCC, in terms of its market penetration. This is my first part of reporting to you, ladies and gentlemen. My second part will be more into the Asia tourism qualitative aspects, especially in its recent achievements. Let's take China, for example, once again. Currently, China stands as the world's number 4 in international tourism arrivals. It has made excellent achievements in recent years, especially in tourism infrastructure development, such as hotels and resorts and other facilities. The importance attached by the Chinese government at various levels of their governments has been very impressive, especially with a typical example of the ongoing China Best Tourism Cities, which I understand these 3 best cities are all at present in this forum. Even we take a micro-level example of a destination in Sichuan Province, which is called Nine Village Valley, or in Chinese, 九寨沟. This, in the eyes of our tourism experts, has actually presented an excellent example of destination management from a developing country. Ladies and gentlemen, in qualitative aspects, Japan is another new example of Asia tourism. As you all know, the Japan government has made some recent tourism policy readjustments at the highest level, and it has been initiating this very aggressive Yokoso campaign. And for this year, the target for international arrival set by the government and by JATA is 20 million international tourists. And we have every reason to believe that Japan, both in inbound and outbound, is going through a very significant historical phase of tourism development. Even for a small country in South Asia, the Maldives, which used to be one of the poorest countries in South Asia, now is becoming the richest in per capita terms, and tourism has brought about more than 40% of its government revenue. There's no need for us to mention about the country of Thailand, ladies and gentlemen, but a recent example of how Thailand, and especially the example of how the city of Pattaya has been revamping itself from a decaying and old resort destination into a destination which is fit for all markets. Korea, ladies and gentlemen, is again an excellent example of how to take tourism agenda in a very integrated and balanced approach. It's taking tourism not just about the economic aspects of the tourism importance. It's taking tourism more from the internationalization process of the tourism agenda. It's taking tourism more from the social cultural aspects, such as the pride of national heritage, using tourism as a means. Ladies and gentlemen, the subject of today's forum is more into the discussion of tourism and tourism investment. As you all know, that according to our forecast, by the year 2020, we anticipated non-stop continuous expansion of international tourism worldwide. And there's a need, ladies and gentlemen, for tourism investment almost in all regions and almost in all subsectors, and especially in the Asia and the Pacific area. For me, probably four following areas may be explored. Number one, the phenomenon of money rich and time poor is nowadays pushing the tourism products investments more into the weekend city breaks, is pushing more into short breaks and multiple travels. This is further pushing products related to spas. This is further pushing products related to shorter duration but maximization of one's experiences. So probably this is the first area that as a tourism investor would like to look at in terms of tourism products linked with money rich and time poor. Secondly, in terms of transportation, the concept of LCC, the low cost carrier, will probably be the factor that will affect our world tourism industry for the next decade. And due to this, there will be increasing demand for accommodation, especially along the line of 3 stars and even lower. And there will be, with this concept of LCC, increasing demand for the construction of secondary airports and their related facilities. And with this concept of LCC, there will be increasing demand for the destination development, not necessarily in megacities, but in less known areas and less known regions and less known cities. So in that sense, the LCC will probably change Asia in terms of expansion of three-star hotels and in terms of reaching out to smaller townships and remote areas. The third possible area for tourism investment as a trend relates to accommodation. Tourism accommodation, we will see more usage of apartment hotels, we will see more usage of timeshares, and we will see more usage of second holiday homes. For example, nowadays in Europe, in Spain, one out of every four foreigners who are traveling to Spain stays not in hotels, but in holiday homes. This gives us some food for thought. And finally, as my fourth area of tourism investment, relates very much to the factor of climate change and its linkage with tourism. Ladies and gentlemen, no longer sustainability in tourism is an issue for academics. No longer this issue is only for social responsibility, but rather this issue of protection of tourism resources and environment is an issue of your business viability and your business survival in tourism. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, what is the challenge for Asia and the Pacific tourism? The way I see, Asia tourism must enrich quality. The way I see, Asia and the Pacific tourism must dilute quantity. Too much development, too much concrete, and too many numbers may not lead to healthy development of Asia tourism. It is us, you, the mayors and the tourism directors, who should control growth so that our tourism development will be more modest and our tourism development will be more social and our tourism development will be more responsible. Asia tourism remains still very much in the cities. It is our job, ladies and gentlemen, that we must go to the vast countryside in order for us to develop products relating to rural tourism, in order for us to develop products relating to low-scale and small-scale tourism projects, like what they have already succeeded in France, in Ireland, in Switzerland, and in Austria. Thus, our tourism industry can contribute more to the agenda of the remote area development, therefore achieving the new millennium goals set forth by the United Nations. In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, Asia, with no doubt, has a bright future, and Asia is gradually but firmly establishing itself on the map of world tourism. And Asia is indeed changing the scenario of world tourism. I thank you for your kind attention.